Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and we're in a special series talking about Windows Phone 8 and its capabilities. Today is an exciting one when we're talking with two teams together, the location team and the maps team, where we can talk about all the capabilities you have as far as location. I'm here with three people. This is going to be a serious episode. I'm here with Christina, Mike, and Sanjeev. Guys, first, just thanks for being on the show.
Thanks to you for having us, Jerry.
Christina, let's start with you. Before we talk about the technical stuff, who are you?
My name is Christina Delamo. I am a program manager in the Windows Phone team, and I am the program manager for location in the client side.
Okay, cool. And Mike, are you on the location team?
No, I'm actually on the Maps team on Windows Phone. I've been on Windows Phone for about 6 years now.
All right, cool. And Sanjeev, who are you?
My name is Sanjeev Shaha. I lead the development team for Windows Phone Location. I joined the team about 3 years ago. I'm the counterpart of Christina on the development side. And Mike is my partner on the Maps development side.
Excellent. All right, guys, that's pretty cool. All right, let's just start talking about it. Mike, we're going to start with you. Let's talk about Maps. I'm a developer. I write Windows Phone apps. I know that there's a Maps control. What's new with the Maps control?
What's new in the Maps control Windows Phone 8 is that we really want to give the developer the same experience as the first party app. In Windows Phone 7 before, we had a map control that we used internally for our app, and then a separately made one for third party developers, and it had some limitations. And we really strive to make sure that our developers could have the same experience as our first-party developers do in our new control.
So if I there were some times I could see things happening in the first-party apps, right, that were just really sophisticated and cool. I was trying to do that in my application, my custom app. There's some things I couldn't do. We're bridging that gap.
Yes, yes. Like one of the areas is just that the markers we used on the map, we had our own, and we didn't tell other people what sizes they were and how they were. And so we've actually now enabled developers to use the same assets in their apps.
Do you mean the POI markers in the app?
Yeah, the POI markers. It was actually in our control, we shipped our control in the SDK, and then through the Silverlight toolkit, we've actually added additional functionality since we launched Windows Phone 8, including these POI markers.
Oh, okay. So, and for people listening, POI, point of interest marker. All right. Now we're talking about two things, right? So first, I install Visual Studio, I install the SDK, I look to my toolbox, there's the map control. That's the one we're talking about. Let's talk about that first, and then I want to talk about the toolkit that we install and get more out of it. So right. That map, I drag over, it's not the Bing Maps control anymore?
It's not based on the Bing Maps tiles anymore. It's actually a vector rendering engine that uses offline and online map data that's shared across the device through all your apps.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so now I have a control that taps into some system that's shared across all of them, plus it's vector, so I have a lot of problems are solved real quickly, just making a vector, right? What about the back end? Am I still talking, is it still Bing Maps that I'm talking to?
It's actually powered by Nokia mapping platform, and they provide the maps that we use in the control.
Now, when I was using the Bing Maps control, I never really thought about licensing. Now it's Nokia. Is it the same licensing?
The licensing is provided to you through the dev portal. When you go and submit your app, there's a special area next to where you do your in-app advertising, there's one called Map Services. And when you go in there, there's two important things. One is there's the terms of use between the developer and Microsoft and Nokia for the use of the control and APIs. And the other is where you get your token and ID to put in your map control so that you can use those APIs in your app. And that's very important to do.
Got it. So I don't go to Bing Maps portal anymore. Now I go to dev.windowsphone.com. Is that where I go in and get
it from? That is exactly where you go, and it's through that flow. And after you submit your app and you have those steps in front of you, there's the optional steps. And one of those optional steps is this Map Services section.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense to me. All right. So I have the but as far as capabilities of that, I still have the same capability. I can still show satellite. I can also show just the map. And is it that's all the same?
Yeah, so we have all the ones before and some more. So we have the base day map. We have an aerial map, satellite map. We have roads on top of satellite. And we've also have a night mode now, so a more of a high contrast map. So if you're using it in a vehicle or in a bus at night, it's not this big, bright, glowing screen on you.
Nice. So that's probably the vector map with a different set of colors.
Exactly. So we can quickly change that between the two. There's no waiting for the new one to load in. It instantly changes over.
I can put my own waypoints like I could before, or my own push pins in there that I could before.
You can definitely do your own XAML push pins like you did before. And we now do position those not on the UI thread. So now those stay positioned as the user pans around or zooms much more accurately than they did on the previous control.
Oh, that's very nice. And I can, how many layers can I add to that? Can I add other layers as well other than push pins?
Yeah, so we have push pins and we have polylines and polygons.
Nice. You can really build a robust a map there. That's great. And it'll perform well. I know that we would add a lot of push pins and it would start to lag a little, and we've really addressed that problem.
Right. So before, if you added, you know, in the 10s, 20s of push pins, you could start seeing a noticeable lag. They got a little slower updating all the positions. We've tested well past 400 pins on the map, and it stays fast and fluid.
As you Very nice. I heard you say offline. What's the offline story?
So that's a something unique to Windows Phone that I don't think I've seen anyone do yet, and that is that we have maps that can be downloaded by the user or preloaded by the OEM that is not only for the main map experience on the device, but is also fully accessible for all third parties to use in their apps. So essentially, if I am going traveling, let's say, to Europe, and I don't want to have a roaming data connection before I go, I can download a map of France. And when I get there, I can use that offline.
Nice. Now, to make this clear for developers, they aren't downloading the offline. They're not downloading the offline data inside their application. The user of the phone is downloading the offline information for their entire phone, right?
For their entire phone and shared across multiple apps. One thing we did give developers, though, is there's a task to launch out into that experience so that they can tell the they can say, hey, do you want to go download new maps?
Nice.
And then they can launch directly to that settings experience.
Why would a developer go and install the toolkit, the XAML toolkit? But in maps, there's so many other reasons. But for maps,
right, there's a whole bunch. You know, they had the long list lifter, a whole lot of other great XAML things. What we've put in there is that's where we put the assets for the POI markers, and also an asset for the Windows Phone user location marker as well, which is the little diamond with the themed theme color circle in the center that we use across our experience to represent where the user is on the map.
All right, so I'm using the maps. The maps are showing me everything around me. They're showing me how to get places. They're showing me, they're allowing me to kind of move around and kind of investigate things. But there's also the ability for the phone. Of course, the best thing about a phone is the fact you can fit it in your hand and you're walking around with it. I want to know where it is. That's where the location API is. Christina, tell me what does the developer do with the location API?
So the developer is going to be able to do things such as, for example, place the user in a map. They can specify whether they just want to have one single position the point for the for the user, or whether they want to track the user as they move, right? So the APIs that we introduced in Windows Phone 8, which are WinRT APIs, will have the two types of calls. First call, yes, splits the user here, right?
That's a one-time call, right?
And that is a one-time call. That is an async call. Actually, Sanjeev can explain a little bit more about that call, but that's the one that will allow the developer to say, I want to place the user here. Okay. Just one time, I want to have this specific type of accuracy, and I need the response within this amount of time. And we get all these requirements, and then we provide one single output to the user. So maybe, Sanjeev, before we move into other APIs, can talk a little bit more about this one.
Okay, sure. Yeah, Sanjeev, clarify that for me.
Yeah, so like Christina mentioned, you can use the single shot location request, which is essentially tell me where I am right now. And there are different variations of this API. You can just use the simplest form, which will give you a default location with a default accuracy, probably a few hundred meters. Okay. And it will be quick enough for you to process the information.
Let me ask you this, Sanjeev, before we go to the recurring location. I want to ask you two things. First is, when you say it's quick enough, how do you make it quick?
So that's a very good question. So there are two things that are associated with the location and positioning technology. One is about how accurate is the location. Hmm. And the second part is how quickly can I get that location. And interestingly, these two things are interrelated in the sense that if you want very accurate location, you have to be really patient, meaning you have to give the system more time to log the current fix. Whereas if you want something very quick, you have to give up on the accuracy. Now, the good news about the Windows WinRT APIs for Windows Phone 8 is that you have full control on what accuracy you want to the level of, you can specify in terms of meters that 30 meters accuracy is good enough for me. Uh-huh. And you can also specify that this is the time up to which I can wait most, meaning you specify an accuracy, you specify a maximum timeout, and you can also specify whether you are okay with getting a slightly stale position, which is the age of the location. So with these three things, the system will balance these three requests and use appropriate positioning technology to honor your request.
Let's walk backwards through that then. So if I'm trying to determine the accuracy that I want, let's say I'm giving you my users the weather, right? I don't need to have 30 meter accuracy to give the users the weather. I probably couldn't get weather that accurate anyway, so I can say, let's just blast it out. Give me where I am right now. But you also said there's this idea of time, and because the location on the phone, I assume, must be cached.
They are cached in case the application is able to use slightly older position. But if the application says that, no, I want to figure out right now where I am and don't give me any older information, the system, you can specify that aspect of your request in the API, and the system will honor your request.
Each time you add that, it costs you something, though, doesn't it?
That is correct. Because every time you want to be more accurate, you are burning more power because it has to light up the high-cost positioning engines within the stack, and it will drain battery depending on, you know, how frequently you are making the request. Now, if it is just a, you know, single request, you are an interactive application, you just need the location, and you want to do some more things with the location, then probably it is okay with the power cost because your screen is already on and things are running, so the cost to turn off the GPS from a cold state is not that high given the whole set of things. Now, if you're going to do that every 5 seconds, then you have to be very aware of the fact that using location more often with high accuracy requirements does cost power.
Right. And the last thing you want is for the user to uninstall your app because they feel like it's killing their battery or killing their performance when they're using it.
Absolutely.
Now, Christina, I couldn't help but hear you say that the location API is a WinRT API. Now, I know WinRT is a API that is only in Windows Phone 8, but I'm a Windows Phone 7 developer too. I have been using location a long time. Did you make a mistake?
No, that's okay. We had already since Windows Phone 7 a .NET API, and that is still available with background compatibility with Windows Phone 7. So if you as a developer wrote an application in Windows Phone 7, you can just keep using those same .NET APIs in Windows Phone 8. It's going to work.
Okay.
But the new APIs give you all this flexibility that we have been explaining, which wasn't there before. The .NET API, pretty much you have pretty much a call, which is give me a position, and this is the distance between two subsequent positions. And you had to play with that to do whatever you could, right, pretty much. While in the case of the WinRT APIs, we have this new API, which is the single shot API, the one where you can fit all these parameters and basically you give us the requirements and we do the best that we can for you. And then we have also two different type of tracking APIs. We have the same that we had in .NET, which is the distance tracker, right, where you provide a distance that you want in between two subsequent positions. And then you have a second one, which is you can give us the time between positions, something like I want to get the position like every second or every other second, which maybe for a mapping application, it's something
maybe,
that they
maybe it's
use.
A jogging application or something like that where it's keeping track of
exactly
as I jog, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, so let me make sure I'm clear, because so for developers who are on Windows Phone 7, they were using the .NET API. That is the system.devices.geolocation, right? So they can recognize that they're using the .NET API. The API, then the namespace for the new WinRT APIs, that's under Windows, right?
That is correct. The old one is under system.devices.location, and the name of the class is GeoCoordinate Watcher.
GeoCoordinate Watcher, okay.
Yeah, and the new one is under windows.devices.location, and the most important classes there are GeoLocator and GeoCoordinate and associated classes with that. Now, one thing we want to clarify is the reason we are introducing the Windows RT new APIs is we want to do all the feature investment in this particular area, and we do not want to confuse you as a developer by having two different sets of APIs which pretty much does the same thing.
Right.
At the same time, we do not want you to waste your existing investment. So that means if you have used the GeoCoordinate Watcher .NET API before, not only they will continue to work in the Windows Phone 8, it's very easy to move the code into Windows RT because that particular functionality is almost very similar in the new form of the Windows RT API. So which means if you don't have time to upgrade your application to the new APIs, fine, you will get the same functionality. If you have time, if you want to take advantage of the new Windows RT APIs, not just the existing functionality, but new functionalities, you can easily move over to Windows RT.
Makes sense. That makes sense to me. Let me ask about location. How do you actually get the location of the device?
Who do you want to take this question? Shall it be me?
Yeah, tell me, Christina.
So we use multiple sources of location. Actually, in Windows Phone, we can leverage three sources of location at the moment, and we're looking into more in the future, actually.
Okay.
Cellular is something that we use, which is actually very fast, very low power. So we recommend for things such as a weather application to give us parameters that will enable us to just keep your position through cellular very fast.
And cellular is I guess kind of a triangulation technique where it tells you where you are based on towers that you're talking to? Is that
so
how that
we
works?
Basically, yeah, we have visibility of which cell towers are around the are visible actually to the phone, and then we use that and information from a Windows Phone service, which is a positioning service, in order to translate that into an estimated position for that device.
Got it. So that's the fastest, cheapest way, but also one of the least accurate.
It is the least accurate, but as you saw, we continue improving across multiple releases. So, you know, don't underestimate it.
Okay.
And then the second source of position is using the Wi-Fi beacons that are also visible from the device. I want to stress something, which is that you don't need to be connected to Wi-Fi in order for us to use the Wi-Fi beacons. We just scan and see what's visible, and even when you're not connected to Wi-Fi, we can still provide a position through the Wi-Fi available beacons.
Okay, so if there's the way that works, I'm really asking more than anything, is so it scans and looks for whatever Wi-Fi networks it can see. If they find a known one that's in a massive database that we have, that's even more accuracy for us, right? We can say, okay, oh, we recognize this Wi-Fi network. This Wi-Fi network is located at this location.
Yeah, and actually we use multiple of them, right? Because when you scan, you see multiple beacons. So we actually do some collaboration and then just get them all together to give you a more accurate position. And yeah, we can get actually pretty accurate. I've seen sometimes 50 meters, even better than that. Okay. So that's pretty good. It's also pretty fast. We can provide a position with just a few seconds, even less than 5 seconds, right? So also pretty good. And then the third source of position that we're using now is satellites. And keep in mind, I'm saying satellites now because people used to talk a lot about GPS, but we actually support in Windows Phone 8 more than just one satellite constellation. We also support GLONASS, right? So we use information from the satellites in order to provide you a much more accurate position in certain environments. And that could be up to a few meters, actually, in open sky conditions. It takes a little bit more time when the GPS is, the GNSS unit, which is GPS plus GLONASS, right? When it's cold, it takes a little bit more time. But in Windows Phone 8, every Windows Phone 8 device has assistance information that is provided to the GPS. So I've seen sometimes from call get a position in about 7 seconds, sometimes even less in good condition. So it still is pretty quick. That said, it does take more power than the previous methods that we've been talking about.
So from the GPS, that's pretty awesome, actually. So I can use the US GPS satellites in addition to the GLONASS satellites, put those together, and in concert can really bring it down. Is there also correction as part of it?
I think by correction, maybe you are talking about differential GPS, maybe?
Yeah.
Actually, we don't support that, and we investigated that, and we found out that once you have GPS and GLONASS, the results that we're getting are really good. And we found out that it wasn't actually worth it to get the extra power cost on the user. So we have the hardware that we use actually is pretty smart and figuring out when it has to use more or less satellites to try still to optimize for power.
Makes sense to me. All right, so that's pretty interesting. So back to GPS for a second, though. If I do talk to the GPS satellites and the GLONASS satellites, there's a real GPS satellite receiver in the phone, isn't there? It's not assisted GPS. I mean, this is legit GPS. It's like holding a Garmin in my hand.
Every phone comes with a GNSS device. Again, I'm calling it GNSS because we have also support for GLONASS. So every Windows Phone 8 device has support for satellite positioning.
So they do come with a receiver. Now, the good thing for you, good news for you as a developer is, as a developer, you don't really need to worry about, you know, what positioning technology should I use, whether I should be using cellular or Wi-Fi, or need to be aware of any of this. All you need to do is, what do you need? What is the accuracy that you need? What is the, how much time can you wait for? And how still an information can you live with? and the system will automatically decide which particular positioning technology to deploy, and the deployment happens in stages. For example, like Krishna said, if it is using a cellular positioning, all the time that is needed is a very quick cell scan, and then figuring out what the position is based on lookup. Now, if it is going to use Wi-Fi, the time is little bit more because scan time for Wi-Fi beacons adds couple of seconds to the location acquisition time. Whereas for GPS, it can be, you know, still higher. Yeah. Now, the accuracy also starts to come down a little bit, in the sense that if you're using cellular, you get a less accurate. But as Krishna mentioned, you know, a lot of the resolution actually happens on a service side. So the good news is, because we are constantly improving the accuracy on the service side, you get the benefits right away without having to wait for a phone update or anything like that. It comes right away to your phone.
Christina?
I just wanted to say that despite the fact that we use the best that we can in order to meet the requirements, we still also make available to the developer in the API responses what is the source of that positioning. So in the new WinRT APIs, one of the things that we added is telling the developers, this is what we have used at this point in time. So if some of the developers still are curious about either what we use, or they need to do some sort of filtration for whatever reason, because that may depend on the application, they still can do that. We don't think in general they need to, because just the accuracy is going to be something that they typically need. But if they have to, the information is going to be there. We added a new parameter in the response, which is position source, and that will tell you from where is that position coming.
I see. All right. So if I am getting my position, and I'm not thinking about how I get it, right? I just set my accuracy to wherever it is. The phone is currently not connected to a cell network. What happens then?
You mean that it doesn't have a data connection?
Right, doesn't have a data connection because I'm deep in the mountains, let's say. What's my location capability then?
Okay, so if you are deep in the mountains, there's two cases actually that you have over there, right? I don't have actually any cellular connectivity. Right, and quite likely over there you won't have any Wi-Fi either, right? There won't be Wi-Fi hotspots. So in that case, because there's no beacons that you can see, we're gonna go back to using GPS. Right? Now there could be other cases where maybe you actually, well, this wouldn't be out there in the forest or the mountains, but you may be in other places where there is no cellular connectivity. It's really bad for whatever reason, but you have a Wi-Fi hotspots or something like that available, right? We might be able, even in that case, to use Wi-Fi as well, because something that we do is we cache pieces of the database from our service in the phone. So even if we don't have data connection at some point, we may be able to still infer the position from those pieces of the database that we have locally on the phone. But again, it all depends. They're using all these Wi-Fi or cell. It depends on what we are seeing at that point. If there's no Wi-Fi access points, no cellular towers, we're going to go and default automatically to GPS. And this is transparent, right? You give us a requirement and we figure out what we can use at any point. The developer doesn't have to really pay attention to that. The whole engine
so even pays
attention to it.
Yes, and even when we have to fall back to GPS, because as a developer, you already specified that you can live with a lesser accurate position. What the system does is the GPS progressively gets better. So it starts giving the current position, but the accuracy starts to get better. So instead of waiting for the entire time period to get a very typical GPS accurate fix, the system sees whether the current position available from the GPS meets your requirement or not. And if it does, then it doesn't wait for the GPS to complete its full scan. It will just return to the application with the particular position and bring the GPS down so that you save power and you get your position quickly.
So Sanjeev, I used an app in Windows Phone 7. It was a jogging app, and I had to leave the phone on, right? I could, the lock screen could come on, but I couldn't go to another app, or that app would suddenly stop tracking my location. It was, obviously it was what the developer had to do. It was super irritating. what have we done to help that scenario?
So there are two things that we have done in that particular respect. Firstly, on Windows Phone 7, specifically for jogging or tracking type of application, we introduced a new form of API, which is you just specify how frequently you want the location to be captured. But again, that doesn't solve the problem of your phone, the application has to stay in the foreground.
Right.
So what
right.
we have added in Windows Phone 8 is the capability of running continuously in the background if you already have a location session running. So which means there can be one application on the phone if it was already in one of the long running location session, then it will continue to run without getting thumbs turned for up to 4 hours. Now
wait, let me make sure I understand. So I write my jogging application. I tell it I want to use this location service that is constant. They go to check their email. I know that the normal lifecycle management kicks in, and I am now suspended. You're saying that my application is in the background, but now it's still running.
That is correct. You have to specify in your application that you want this particular behavior, because we don't want to give this behavior by default, because it may inadvertently cause the application to run and drain the battery. So your app has to declare specifically that it wants this type of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And the restriction is we allow only one application to be running at a time.
Okay.
And there's a limit on how long it can run, which is 4 hours currently.
Jogging app one is running. I'm checking my email. I know that it's still running in the background, partly because in the status bar I see that little circle, right? That's kind of the giveaway that the background location is running.
Yes.
And but then I run jogging app two, right? This is the competitor, let's say. At that time, jogging app one is actually suspended.
No. If jogging app two is also a continuous background application, and if goes into background, at that point in time, the system will check whether there is already one application running in the background, and then it will disallow the second application to run in the background.
I see. So I have jogging app one running. I go to check my mail. It goes into the background like it's supposed to. And then I run jogging app two, check my email. Jogging app two is suspended because jogging app one is already the background location provider.
That is correct. And the good news is when you run the jogging app two, even that application is using location. So what the system does is it uses the same information for feeding into both the application instead of acquiring the location continuously for both this application independently.
All right, great. So I want to make sure we cover the idea of WinRT and the fact that this is an API that's in both Windows Phone and Windows 8. I want to talk about kind of the overlap and similarity between them. Before we do, Mike, are you still on the line?
I'm still here.
Okay. I want to ask you about the map control real quickly. This is a burning question. In the old map control, the push pins, the POI, they're just push pins, right? It's push
pins.
Yeah, the push pins were not an items control, right? And so as a XAML developer, I might want to bind to those, some sort of enumeration. Is that a possibility in the new map control?
So that's an interesting point. So on the previous big map control, they actually were an items control, and in our new one, they're in a collection. Instead of being called children, they're called map layers, and they're not an items control. And we realized that we still wanted to give that items control binding ability to our developers. And so that's another thing that we put into the Silverlight toolkit.
Zone
8, is the ability we brought children back and made it so you could put a map items control, and that automatically will add the map layers for the user, but through the whole the binding process.
Awesome. Can I just say that part? That is such a win in my mind, because that was such a frustration in the old control, is that I don't know. There's some sort of purity around XAML developers. They feel like everything has to be in XAML. It's just intoxicating, you know. And so to know you have to go straight to code behind if you want to add a push pin or two or three or whatever, and they're not going to be manipulated easily, that was a frustration point. That's awesome. So, hey, there's another awesome reason to get the toolkit just to extend it. It doesn't change. It's not a new control. You tell me. Is it a new control in the toolkit, or is it an extension of some kind?
It's an extension to the our new map control. So it gets added into that control. So we used a couple .NET tricks to get it in because it's .NET API, both using something called attach properties and dependency objects, and also for a few of the things we added, we used extension methods as well, which are all kind of .NET tricks to add things into existing APIs.
Sure. Sense to me. It's a huge win. All right.
One more thing I want to talk about there with the toolkit.
Yeah, tell me.
We've been talking a lot about WinRT versus .NET, and I just said my control was a .NET control. These guys have been talking a lot about WinRT location APIs and how great they are. And so that means that the type that your lat long is stored in, that geo-coordinate object, is actually different between .NET and WinRT. And
well,
the easiest way to know which one you have is if it has a big C for coordinate, it's the .NET one. And if you have a little C for coordinate, it's the WinRT one. And so these guys, with their great background APIs and continuously fetching for you, and also their simple async API, is going to get you this geo-coordinate with a little C. And when you go put your user location marker on the map control, it's going to want geo-coordinate with the big C to put in there. And so there's not a way to convert between these two readily available. We documented it on MSDN in the map section, but also when we made this Silverlight toolkit, we made an extension method for...
Perfect.
Extension method for converting that. So you can easily hook up one of their new small C geo-coordinates into your user location marker.
So I could spin up a .NET coordinate, and I could write all the properties out manually, or use the extension method that comes in the toolkit so I don't have to think about it. That's the way to do it. Yeah, excellent. I'm glad you said that, too. One other quick question is, what's the relationship between the map control and the map control in Windows?
So the map control in Windows is from the Bing team, and they produce a control that they ship through the Visual Studio Gallery, which then you can download, and it becomes part of your app that you submit to the store. And so they're a separate team from me. I work on Windows Phone, and our control is a little bit different since we do the whole offline maps sharedness of our solution. Our control actually doesn't get shipped in your app. It's part of the platform, more like the location API is. And so that is not something you include in your app, and it's part of the SDK that you have from us when you install the Visual Studio Express tools.
And it has to be that way because it's fundamental now to the phone itself and stretches across all applications, not just my application.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes plenty of sense. But I hear that a lot. You know, I mean, I could still use Bing Maps control, though, right? I mean, if I'm really into the Bing Maps control because I've invested into that API and I've got all kinds of things written around it, I can still use that control in my Windows 8 app?
You're welcome to use it. We're trying to make it as easy as possible for you to move over to ours, especially with some of the things we did in that Silverlight toolkit. But we understand there are some scenarios that one is better at, and that for now, and you should stick with that, or if you have a large investment, to stay there, and that's okay.
Okay, good. All right, so back and forth between Windows Phone and Windows 8, you have to just think about the scenario, how much code you want to reuse and why. Sometimes it doesn't make sense for you to try and make everything the same. Sometimes it does. The WinRT API for location, though, Sanjeev, tell me about that. That's different between the two? It's the same between the two? Walk me through it.
Well, again, there is good news in this aspect in the sense that the APIs are almost identical. So Windows Phone actually has extended the Windows API and added some new stuff, and it supports the exact form of the API that it is present on Windows side.
Beautiful.
So which means you can do more and you can still be using the same API that you are familiar on the Windows side.
Got it. And so when you say it's extended, there may be more capabilities in the location API on Windows Phone, but that doesn't discount the fact that the APIs look truly the same across the two platforms. So if you are a Windows 8 developer and you understand the location API and you come over to Windows Phone, you're going to be comfortable.
It's just a couple of lines of changes. That's it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, from a best practices point of view, I want to talk both about location and maps here. Let's start with maps. From a best practices point of view, what's the sweet spot as far as things that you put on the map? I mean, we know that we've tested it up to 400, and it still is work. But what do you recommend to developers? Okay, so if you're going to do this, make sure you do that.
Great. I mean, the most important best practice is make sure you go get that token and put it in that, and put in your control, so you're authenticating.
So it works.
Just so it works, and you don't have any problems there. But beyond that, look at the area of which you're displaying, and pull down the poise for around where you are. If you have stores across America and there's thousands of them, please don't pull them all down at once. Mm. Get the center of the map and pull down the stores near you, and then put them on the map.
Don't try to level to the forest back.
Yeah, don't make the map do all the heavy lifting. Also, like, give us a reasonable set of data to work with when we're trying to position them. Yeah,
makes sense to me. Okay, and what's great is the overlay of XAML and so much. You can really make it. You can make the map anything. I mean, you could just turn it into your own control in so many ways. I mean, it's the neatest thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can put whatever XAML you want on the map for your marker. I mean, like I said, we have our built-in marker, but if you want a different color or a different shape, anything you want to do, you can put on that map surface.
Yeah, really customize it so it doesn't look out of the box. It looks like you went to some effort. Makes your app feel a lot richer, like you really put some work into it and you know what you're doing. It's good. I mean, that sort of user experience is positive, not only for performance that you guys deliver, but also from just that look and feel of user experience as well, so that your app gets uninstalled that less frequently.
Exactly.
All right, Christina, do you carry a Windows Phone device? Are you carry Windows Phone as your phone?
Of course.
Of course, I knew you would. What's your favorite app that you know is using the location API? What's one that you really like? Not your favorite, just one you like.
I have so many. I just have so many. Do I really have to tell you only one?
Well, tell me one and we'll cut all the rest out.
You know, this is going to sound really silly, but you know the application that I use every morning that uses location? The weather application. Because I live in Seattle and I look at it and it automatically gets to my new location, which is Seattle normally, and it tells me rain most of the time.
Yeah,
I still love it though.
People in Seattle use the weather application. I thought they already knew. That's interesting.
Simple, but really the fact that it's there every morning for me, it's awesome.
Now, Christina, Sanjeev, anybody, what's the worst case scenario of somebody using the API? Like, if you were to see this, or maybe you have seen it, this would be like totally palm to forehead. This is not what we wanted people to do.
Ooh, I have one.
Go ahead.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah. So,
this would be something that would terrify me, okay? So let's say you have an application that just requires like some very basic location, like for example to display ads or something like that. If an application like that is requesting a high accuracy position continuously, it would break my heart. Because we are at that point, you know, using so much of the battery of the user for not really any benefit to the user. So, you know, just use whatever you really have to use to provide a great experience to the user. If you request a more accurate position that you want, that you actually need for your application, you're not actually doing anything good for the user. You're actually draining their battery without giving them any benefit. So just be smart on what accuracy you pick and how frequently you request it. If you don't really need the accurate position all the time, use a single shot. You can use it every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, whatever it is. You don't have to get a session going on all the time. So that would be what I would say. Just be smart on how you use the resources from the phone, because the users care about battery.
Yeah, just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should, right? This is
exactly.
Really a power.
Yes.
With power,
yes.
Great power, right? Comes great.
Yes.
All right. Sanjeev, anything come to mind? What's the worst thing you would hate to see?
I think Christina covered the most important one. The next important one is on Windows Phone 8, we have given you the ability to continuously run in the background for location scenarios. Now, use that only if your scenario really needs it. For example, if you have a turn-by-turn navigation application or jogging application or stuff like that, go ahead and use it. But be aware that only one application can run on the phone. So if the user has another similar application which requires this functionality more, then they will not be able to use that because of the restriction that we have.
We skipped over a part of the API. Yeah, sure.
So I want to make sure that the developers understand that only one can run in the background, but you can have other applications using location in the foreground and something that the user is interacting. So we actually support multiple at the same time. Mm. It's only that we only support one running in the background. So I want to make that clear.
Correct.
Because we do have some multitasking capabilities.
So there's one real-time application running in the background, not two, But what about background tasks? Is my application has a background task? Do I have access to the location API in that?
You mean background agents?
Background agents.
Yes, you can access location requests from the background agent. And the system does something smart. It coalesces all the requests together, and it just acquires the location one time and gives the same location to all the background agents.
That's great. So coalescing those together means I don't have to ask my GPS to spin up five times for five apps.
Okay.
I'll get that same piece.
Correct.
Yeah. And you can have everything at the same time as well. Background agents, a background application using location, a foreground application using location. We kind of get everything from the API calls, and then we just make one single location request underneath and distribute it, so we don't have to have multiple things spin at the same time. So we just multiplex all that for you.
Christina, is the location API going to be even better in the future?
Oh, yeah. We just can't tell you yet how much better it's going to be, but we have so many things that we are planning to bring.
It will require a three-hour session.
Next session.
We're ready. We are ready.
Yes,
Mike is the map control going to be even better in the future?
It'll definitely be better in the future.
Don't you wish you could tell me right now?
I'd love to tell you right now.
But here's what we have now. Even now is awesome. That's the reality. The Windows Phone 8 developers have both an awesome, a great performing map, a great performing location service that gives them what they need to build all kinds of very creative apps that we've seen before, and now they have a chance to write their own competitor, apps that we've never seen before, and we just kind of leverage their kind of creativity and their own kind of whatever their imagination can have. Guys, I really appreciate all three of you being on the show. I think it's been an awesome, awesome discussion. Christina, Mike, Sanjeev, all of you guys, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Jeremy.